Welcome back, folks, to another episode of Comaholics. This is episode 44. Once again, my co-host Dirt and myself, the Apocalypse, are going to talk about some comic books this evening.
With the world's loudest furnace back
there. Oh, we can turn that off.
Well, no, I mean, don't let the rest of the house get cold. Well, it's like negative 7 degrees outside.
We're in the Millennium Falcon. There's something working then back there, and I don't know what's going on.
We got some hammer it out, Chewie. All right. So, today we're going to be taking an extended look at the new Punisher series from Marvel. The one, basically from the guys who do The Activity, for a couple fill-in issues.
Did this start at the beginning of the year? It's fairly recent, right? Only 13 issues.
Yeah, I think it technically started at the end of last year, and it's, you know, had some rollover. And it's all published in 2014, but the first couple issues came out in 2013, you know? But,
We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about The Walking Dead. Little Invincible. Maybe some stuff Dirt wants to dabble into.
Well, I'll talk about the new Star Wars number one.
Okay.
From Marvel. Comes out on the 14th. Got a chance to read that. That was pretty cool.
Rachel Rising. Have you caught up on this at all?
No.
Oh, not good stuff.
Like issue 8.
You know how I am. I'll wait till I have a collection of like 4. And then I'll go buy them at the store.
Yeah, it's like you wait 4 months to come buy your comics.
It's a very expensive bill. Okay, yeah, so we got some stuff here.
Did you finish Axis?
What is finished?
Like 8 or 9?
No.
Oh.
I'm on 8. Maybe?
I think there's one more after.
Okay, yeah. So.
It's not worth it.
Yeah. I know. Well, you know, the thing is, I was going to ask you, maybe we're just going to, like, jump off page here. But, you know, as you know, I kind of stopped reading a lot of Marvel, or DC for that matter. I've been reading some other stuff that's not necessarily, well, yeah, some independents. But, you know, not
what
the
big, what
do you mean
by other stuff? You're just saying other stuff, like Playboy?
Like Rachel Rising, and, you know, some other books that, you know, The Activity, Invincible, Walking Dead, Daymen. You know, other not necessarily like the big popular titles.
I see what you mean.
You know, when I first started, I was all about the Avengers, you know, and Wolverine. I just had to know.
Deadpool.
I had to read every tie-in, team-up.
Right.
You know, and I just don't do it anymore. I just,
So Amazing tell me. Spider-Man was one of your big ones for a while, yeah.
You know, I'm still collecting ASM. I think that's probably the only, like, ongoing big publishing work that I'm like, I'm stretching here, but you know what I'm saying?
Right, I know what you mean.
So you tell me, because I mean, you work at the store, you see what's going in and out. What's the rage right now? Is it a Marvel DC swing? Is it the same? Like what? What's everybody going for? Because I want to be more interested in some Marvel stuff. You know, I feel like, you know, like actually I think Dark Reign, maybe even Siege. It's really like the last time I was really moved, you know, in a Marvel series.
And then, you learned your lesson after that.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Not putting you on the spot or anything.
Yeah, right? Well, let's not talk about any of this beforehand. I mean, Avengers still sells pretty well. It's one of the big Marvel books. Batman and Batman Eternal still sell really well.
I can see that.
Gosh.
Like, all right, because I've been wanting to read more DC, so what do you think? You know what?
Just
you
jump
know
in somewhere? Well, I don't know. Like, what kind of stuff do you want to read?
You know what I read?
Well, I'll tell you what. The guys who did Flash, Manipal and...
Right.
They are now doing Detective Comics.
Okay.
With Batman, and they've been trying to keep them like 2 issues you know, for a story, so it's not that in-depth. You can kind of jump in, you know, you'd be able to catch up real easy, whatever.
Which we've talked to about that before, how we felt that that's kind of the classic Detective Comics, to have that kind of, not necessarily like this ongoing run, this long story arc, but, you know, it's they're solving a case, you know.
Right.
It's usually, it ends in
either...
Well, because
it used to just be one and done in
every
issue, and yeah. So they, you know, they've generally done it as two issues, so that's all right. I don't know. Stuff, man. Stuff.
Stuff
and chicks. I don't know. Stuff and chicks.
All right. Well, you know, like I did. I guess I did put you on the spot there, but you know, it's just. I think I'm getting to the point right now where I'd like to jump back into some Marvel or DC.
You need to buy the stuff that you have now to jump into.
Yeah.
Before you start adding anything else.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a big stack of ASM I'm still catching up on, but I digress.
I don't know. I've trimmed some stuff and I've added, like, I've added all new X-Men to my regular reading list because they've jumped into the Ultimate Universe. And I've been a big fan of Miles Morales and the Ultimate line for a long time. So now that that's jumped in and it's crossed over, I've been reading that regularly. I've been reading The Avengers and New Avengers because they've done a really good job building the storyline going off of that. You know, and Marvel books have never been my big forte in the past, but there are some good stories going on with those. So I've been, you know, reading those. They've been enjoyable.
I think it's important that, you know, we do talk about this right now because, I mean, our shows are basically, you know, all of the, it's surrounded about, you know, it's all the stuff that we read,
right.
You know, and I think we've both shifted quite a bit since we began this show on what we read and what we don't read. Mm. So.
I still read Star Trek.
Yeah.
Star Trek's so good.
I'm still catching up on that, the ongoing series. Yeah. What's the other ones I'm reading?
We got a stack over there you're hiding?
City on the Edge of Forever is actually pretty good. What's the one where they actually take pictures?
New Visions?
New Visions.
Right.
Those are good. I think IDW's done a great job with Star Trek.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping they don't really dive into like any Next Generation stuff or anything. You know, let's just keep it original series for now. But
what do you have against Next Generation?
It's not a huge... I think I watched too much of it when I was younger and just burnt myself out on it.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So that's kind of the gene pool, so to speak, of what we're kind of reading right now. I think maybe we'd open off with, you got anything you'd like to talk about that you're reading, you know, on the side?
Actually, well, here's something I will talk about that's related to comics before we get into any actual comics themselves. I got an iPad for Christmas.
Really?
An iPad Mini. And
Mr. Non-Apple.
So now I've got...
Anti-Apple.
Now I've got a Windows tablet, 3 Android tablets, and an iPad. And here's the one thing I've learned is that iPad is no longer the device for reading comics. Like, for the longest time, it was. And after using this, Comixology got bought out by Amazon, and they've shifted their attention basically to Android. Using the apps on the iPad are nowhere near as nice as using them on Android nowadays. Most of the time, it's very difficult to get the books to download at a decent speed. I don't know what it is. Almost every time I download, it is slow.
Really?
And
it doesn't matter how much speed you've got going.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter if I'm on my Wi-Fi, if I'm at work, if I'm on my cellular network. It doesn't matter.
Huh?
And I found that.
And this is like the newest version of the Mini, right?
Yeah. And not only that, but I found that downloading the company-specific apps actually makes it go a little faster.
Right.
It's a little more reliable. But then you're stuck with all these different apps. So, like, right now I've got the Comixology app, the DC app, the
Dark
Marvel
Horse
app, the IDW app, the Image Comics app. Those are all from Comixology. I've got the Marvel Unlimited as its own app. I got the Comics Plus app, the Dark Horse app, and then I have the iBooks app for reading the PDFs that we give as review samples of everything. So right now I've got 9, basically taking the place of what are 3 apps on Android.
Right.
You know, it is just not... It used to be the big focus was the iPad, and I think it was because the iPad was the first big consumer tablet that really took off.
Right.
You know, tablets have been around for a long time. I've been reading digital comics since 2004.
We've been reading them since the beginning of the show, at least.
Well, I've been reading them since 2004. My first tablet was a Windows tablet that was running XP, and that was like 2005, 2006 that I was using that. And it was big and clunky, you know, but it worked. The iPad was the first thing that was really consumer-driven, and Android has surpassed the installation base of the iPad. Amazon bought Comixology, and Comixology runs so much better on Android, it's not even funny. You know how horrible Comixology runs sometimes on the Windows tablet?
Right.
How you'll tell it to download.
Yeah, sometimes I have to actually
reinstall it. Same thing on here.
Oh.
It's the same thing on the iPad. So, I mean, and part of the reason I got the iPad was just because I wanted to see how the different ecosystems work. You know, just kind of the ongoing, how is this one different from that one, different from that one, you know? So now I have one so I can use it and I can see what the difference is. But right now, I'm telling you, the Samsung Galaxy Tab that I have is the way to go for reading Comixology, you know? I also read a new ebook that came out about digital comics. It's from Todd Allen, I believe. He talks about digital comics and the new age of comics, and how, you know, everybody thought that digital was going to replace print, and they've seen that as digital has grown, print has grown.
Yeah.
And he said, 99% of the comics that come out digitally sell in a percentage of print that's equal to the print sales. And it's the weirdest thing.
Well, I enjoy buying print comics, flipping right to the page with the code, downloading the code and keeping the paper, and probably never even reading again, just to know I have it.
Right. Well, and
I feel like
but
I'm getting more of a value.
But not even that, but like DC, you have to pay an extra buck to get the copy that has the digital code in it. Marvel just doesn't give you the option. They just charge the extra dollar and you get the digital code. But taking out those types of sales and looking at actual straight-up sales, who buys comics, who buys digital comics, if a comic sells 100,000 print copies, it'll sell 10 to 15,000 digital copies. So it's about 10 to 15%.
Mm-hmm.
And that scales. So if it sells 50,000 copies, it sells 5 to 7%. If it sells 200,000 copies, then it sells 20 to 30%. And it's like the exact same percentage, no matter how high or low.
Oh, it's a profit game.
Well, no, it's not even that. Yeah, kind of. But the point being, though, is that digital comics are selling exactly the same as print.
Right.
And it's different crowds, because people have said, well, I like having the print because it's a collectible, I can turn around and sell it, whatever. Other people say, I like digital because I can have hundreds of them and they don't take up all these boxes. So it's two different groups of people. It's not the same people always buying both.
As I look at the massive stacks of comics, I haven't... Usually at the end of the year, I've talked about this on previous shows, I'll like go through and alphabetize everything. Mm-hmm. I have not done that yet this year. I need about...
It just takes forever.
I need like 3 empty boxes.
But the point is...
You
want to
come over and help me sort my comics?
No, not at all.
It's all alphabetical.
That's okay. But the thing is that if Batman is a hot seller in print, it's a hot seller on digital. There's not really digital... It's not like Image Comics makes these weird niche books, and so everybody buys Sex Criminals online because they don't want to be seen, you know, buying the print copy from their local store. It sells the same percentage... If it sells 5,000 copies,
that's good though. You know, because I don't want to see paper go away.
Well, no, and that's not even really the point of it. The point is that it's not the great equalizer everybody thought it was going to be. Because you know, for you to walk into my store and buy random small press comic, I have to order that in advance.
Right.
I have to know that people are going to want it. I order it 2 months in advance. It comes in. I put it on the shelf. Maybe no one else buys it before you get there. You can come in, you can pick it up, you can buy it.
Right.
Digital, if you want to buy the copy, you just open up the app, boop, you got it, you bought it, you download it.
Right.
So the thought had always been that anybody could make a comic, throw it online, and it's going to be just as popular as anything else. And it's not.
No.
It's the same types of stuff that are popular in print are popular in digital. So small press really hasn't gotten a big boost from digital because they're selling in the same 10 to 15% that everybody else is selling. You know? If stuff doesn't sell in print, it doesn't sell in digital either. So, and part of that could be, you know, news sites are going to cover the big two more than anybody else because the big two send them review copies. The big two send out all the press releases. The big two get, you know, the big booth space at San Diego and they get on the Colbert Report and, you know, all that type of stuff. It's hard
for... Hello? Gets on Comaholics too.
You know, like you got a Captain America shield on your wall. Yeah, not an invincible gauntlet or goggles or something.
No.
It's from the big two. But so digital comics are basically just a new outlet for print. It's not the great equalizer. It's not, you know, bringing focus to small publishers that like people thought it would. So I just thought it was interesting. And the way the guy broke it down, I mean, he goes through lots and lots of data. I mean, it's almost like a textbook.
By the numbers.
Yeah, you can go through. There's charts with numbers, and, you know, you can follow sales of different things. But, and, you know, he breaks down, there are new companies that are trying to do, like, the Netflix of comics.
Right.
Where you pay $9.95 a month, and you get, like, Top Cow.
But, like, Marvel's kind of already done that.
Right, but that's just Marvel.
Yeah. Okay, so
there are other companies trying to get like the small publishers to come together, where everybody gets a cut.
Ooh,
you know,
that'd be cool.
And they always say Netflix just because Netflix is the big one, but other people say, well, it's like Spotify,
right,
or Pandora or something.
Right.
It's that same type of idea. The one of the biggest problems though with digital comics is that there's no advertising in them. You know, you pick up a print comic, and on page 15 you flip the page and there's an ad for another Marvel comic. You read a digital Marvel comic, there's nothing that points you to another Marvel comic.
Right.
Unless you're connected to the internet, you get to the last page, you get that little extra thing that pops up, and it'll say, other readers have enjoyed, and there's a thing you can tap on. But otherwise, you never see anything that points you to another comic. And so they said that's one of the biggest problems is what they call the cross-pollinization of the stuff. If someone comes out with, like, a Pandora of comics, where you pay $9.95 and you're getting all the Valiant and Dynamite and IDW.
That would be really cool.
Well, because then you could technically...
And then it's going to have the same kind of... What do they call it? It's like a program that sorts through what you like. Well, I don't know what they call it, but...
A filter?
Yeah, okay. Sure. I don't know. I've heard it called something else before. But anyways. So, if there was something like Pandora, it had like a filter and it would like... tell what my next choice might be in a comic book.
Right. So the idea, you would get to the end of Star Trek, and it would say, hey, maybe you'd like to read Dr. Solar.
Right.
Maybe you'd like to read Star Wars.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's that idea where it could technically point you in the direction of other comics that are along that same vein.
I could see it having some bad ones, too, you know, where it doesn't, like... You know, just like Pandora.
You just finished reading Witchblade. Here, now read Adventure
Time.
My
Little Pony.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Okay.
You like strong female protagonists.
Would you like another beer, Dirt?
No, I got one up here.
Yeah, all right. Make sure everybody's furnished.
Now, I've got some sediment from your homebrew at the bottom of this one.
Yeah, it's like the worm. If you drink it, you'll trip.
It looks like somebody ate crackers and then had backwash in my glass.
Yeah, probably one of my kids.
So anyway.
You're welcome.
All right, so that's kind of the stuff happening in the world of comics.
Yeah.
Not necessarily comics.
Now we can actually talk about comics.
Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in a roundabout way.
See, I don't actually read comics. I just read about them.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Like, just reviews of people that have read comics and what they thought about them, but not necessarily...
Yeah, I don't read the comics
the
that
actual...
people review. I just review the reviewers who review the comics.
Oh, okay. That'd be an interesting show. Okay.
He uses and a lot.
And.
Evidently. And okay, here's one other thing I'll talk about real quick.
Okay.
Marvel's Star Wars number one.
Okay.
Comes out January 14th. And I read it.
Because some of us work at the store and get to just read
we
that
get
stuff.
Advanced copies of some stuff. Marvel Star Wars number one is good.
Why is it good, Dirt?
Well, let's talk about a couple things. You remember the ongoing series that started like a year and a half ago?
Is there a Jar Jar Binks?
No.
Okay. Ongoing series a year and a half ago. The Star Wars?
The one that came from Dark Horse. It was
like about the same time that they had like the Darth Vader prison offshoot thing.
Right.
Okay.
And, like the first three issues came with the digital code.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
Unlocking
okay.
on Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't like that one very much.
Right.
Because to me, it felt too much like
it was forced.
Well,
like they were changing things and forcing.
No. It felt too much like you had to be too involved in the Star Wars universe to understand what was going on. It would say like. After the Battle of Yavin, when so-and-so commander found such-and-such a reliant
right,
on blah, 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 then they went, and this is much more of like, okay, they blew up the Death Star, what happens next? Which, okay, I'm there, you know? I don't have to look up where the Battle of Yavin was. I don't know where the Battle of Yavin. I don't know, like, is that before Hoth, after Hoth? Like, I don't know. So, this is, it's firmly set in the time period between... I'm going to say the first two movies, A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Episode 5, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, the first two films.
4 and 5.
It's set between those, and the Empire is setting up this negotiation with the Hutts in order to get minerals from Tatooine to this factory where they build weapons for the Empire.
Right.
So they need some sort of minerals that they're mining out of the desert on Tatooine. And so the envoy for the Hutts shows up to have this negotiation, and it's Han Solo.
Is this a trade negotiation?
And it is, unfortunately. and I think they did it. I think they did it purposely to make a point, because there's none of what happened in Episode One.
Misa hopes not.
But he shows up and they go, well, it's kind of weird that you'd be here to do this because we heard there was a bounty on your head. And he's like, you know, it's a long story. That's all a big misunderstanding, blah, 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 blah. Well, it turns out that the Rebel Alliance intercepted the actual negotiators and they've got them snatched away on some other planet. And now Han Solo has come in with this group and they're going to try to sabotage the factory.
Okay.
So this whole thing is like this, you know, plot. And like, you've got Han Solo, you've got Princess Leia, you've got Luke, you've got Chewbacca, you've got R2, you've got C-3PO.
The whole cast.
I mean, it's like the gang, you know, is there.
The boys are back.
And
girl.
And the thing is, though, it's a straightforward story. One of the things I didn't like about the Dark Horse one is that you would follow this character for a couple pages, and then would jump over here, like on this planet, on the other side of Metropolis.
Right.
You know, something would happen here, and then something would happen over there, and you knew that eventually they'd somehow come together, but at the beginning you're just like, what? You know, this is just straight up, you're following them as the events unfold in this one location. So everybody who's in this story is in this spot. So you're not jumping halfway across the galaxy to follow somebody.
So it's got more of the movie feel to it.
Because you are getting that kind of straight plot line in the story. The artwork is really good. Harrison Ford looks like Harrison Ford.
Who does the art?
I want to say it's John Cassidy. Cassaday.
Who's the writer?
Jason Aaron.
Anything we're familiar with?
Jason Aaron? Well, he's in... ton of stuff over the years that all escape me at the moment.
He's brilliant. We love him.
But it's one of those books that where you get done and you wake up in the morning with a scar on your forehead. No, we're watching Step Brothers on TV. Turn this off. You get done with the issue and you really want to read the next one because of the way it ends, because they do, you know, that typical thing where it ends on a cliffhanger and you're like, okay, I'm in this. I'm excited.
Okay.
I'm invested, because it didn't draw me out in too many different directions. It's right here, right now. Here's the story. Follow it along.
Okay. Well, I'll just have to pick that up off the shelf then. You can add that to my stack.
It was good. Oh, right. We're going to have like
a billion copies.
Because there's so many different covers. There's like, I don't know, 60.
I want the variant cover. I want the super.
If you would like to pay $120, we can get you a nice variant copy. But I don't think you want to pay that.
I want 3D pop up with like, it talks every page I turn. No, won't happen. You can make that happen.
Well, I mean, I could probably make one. All right. Would be a one out of one variant.
Didn't you say there was some other Darth Vader? Is there going to be a Darth Vader number one?
That
two?
Starts in February.
Okay.
And a Princess Leia one starts in March.
Okay. And then I'm assuming Luke, Han.
I'm assuming there's going to be a Yoda swimsuit special at some point. Nice. I'm just waiting for it. I want to see the rest of the Yodas. I mean, he's got to be an alien race, right?
Where's his fam?
They showed some brown ones in one of the episodes,
like
didn't they?
Beard or ears look like Mogwais on acid or something. Kind of like, Dobie. Was his name Dobie?
the Gremlin? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
The Mogwai, Gremlins 2 guy with the bulgy eyes?
Yeah. All right. How about The Walking Dead?
How about The Walking Dead?
All right, so the most excitement we've seen so far in the last, like, six issues was there were some kids picking on Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the kids threw a brick at Carl's head. And then he's almost out. The kids attack Sophia. Carl picks up a shovel and nearly kills them all. Right?
Right. And now people think that Carl's a danger and needs to be killed or put in jail.
And then the Jesus, you know, we all know Jesus, right?
Sure.
He brings back one of the captors from
the skin flute zombies. the skin mask zombies. Yes.
Hey. Oh, this is going the wrong direction. We're going to stop
right there. Hey, sailor. You want some zombies?
I love your brains. So.
I'm just.
Okay. And then, it was kind of interesting, the whole interview with the 16-year-old girl and her perspective of, you know, basically, this is how we live. We live with the zombies. We work with them. This is reality. This is how we live our lives now. This is our lives.
Right, because she everything you remember, do is a she joke. Probably doesn't remember anything
right.
before.
She's probably been doing this since she was like 12.
Well, this is like 8 years later, right?
Are we that far into the future since the beginning of the zombie apocalypse started?
When did it jump after all that war? Wasn't that 8 years?
I guess. Oh, man.
Or was it 6 years?
It's been a while. It's been more than five. It's hard to calculate. We need like a...
But it's been a long time since the zombie apocalypse started, so this girl doesn't know a life before the zombie apocalypse, really. I mean,
no.
She might have like one or two memories as a tiny kid, but otherwise, this is the only life she's ever known.
And, you know, they take off this mask, and it's like this pretty doe-eyed girl, too, you know? Like, you're expecting, like, this, like, sloth creature.
Because, you know...
Zombie skin probably keeps your skin fresh.
I mean, it keeps the moisture
like
in.
Like, pumiced.
You know, it's going to keep the moisture in. It's going to keep the sunlight from getting on it.
No, that is creepy.
It's going to keep it, like, baby smooth.
You have lost your humanity just a little bit when you're walking around with zombie skin on yourself.
But that's why she's so pretty. It's just a good rejuvenating mask. It's it's like ponds.
We're going to open up a spa.
We're just going to lay zombie skin on people. I'm going to put this mask of human skin on you. It's going to suck up your wrinkles.
Breathe.
And then put one of those steam things on it. Is this human skin? Yes, you'll thank me later. Shh.
We tried cat skin. It just didn't work as well.
Yeah, it's hard to get enough to cover your face. To kill like 10 cats just to skin their faces to sew it together. Why don't you use their back skin? Oh, that's going to work. I'm just skinning cat faces and throwing the rest away.
There's a lot of whisker plugging. Oh my god.
Paintbrush.
Where are we?
Alright.
Oh, this is like a bad Doctor Who episode.
So anyway,
so Walking Dead. Both you and I, let's face it, we're not really big fans of where it's going right now. It almost feels like it's lost direction. It has no story arc anchor. You know what I'm saying? Like, where is this? Where's even the going? Story arc before this, I was like, where is this going? You know, leading up to Negan being imprisoned, I felt like that. You know, like, all right, okay, I'm just not comfortable. I'm still not comfortable with how that ended. I'm not comfortable with the direction of it right now. Like,
I think there's...
It's almost like, it's all right, you know, it's time to kill Rick. It's time, I mean...
Yeah, I can see them killing Rick. Carl goes into hiding for a while, finds another group, learns to be a badass fighter, and makes a comeback.
And then that's the end of it. Fade off into the sunset, you know?
My thing is... Like, I understand the idea that you make things comfortable, you make things complacent, so that just as everybody is laid back and relaxed is when you come in and you hammer
something. I just fell asleep. You just made me fall asleep.
Me personally?
No, not you personally.
Oh, you mean Kirkman.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
But, yeah, well, that's the problem is it's gone on so long.
You need to keep the action alive.
I understand, you know, the idea that you bring it down in order to build it back up, to have that big pop when something actually happens. But this, to me, feels like in the first minute of Halloween, you killed six of the kids, then you showed this one kid going on the rest of her life for the next hour and a half, only in the last minute of the movie to jump out with a knife, go, and then it's the credits roll. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you put some of that dead space at the beginning, and then you have a lot of action. This has just been like... Nothing.
Now, I have to say, I'm a huge fan. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sticking around. It's like I want it to get better.
The problem is, at this point, I'm much more of a fan of the TV show than the comic.
Yes, I agree.
That I'm just kind of following the comic out of habit.
Right.
Kind of the same way I follow, like...
A cult.
Well, it's like the way you skin the face on a cat.
Right,
you know?
Yes.
Like you just done it so many times.
Whiskers. You know how many whiskers that is? It's the whiskers alone.
It's like when I machine separate my chicken.
Right.
You know, it's like I've always done it that way. Apparently, it's just the way I do it. But no, I just feel like...
Nobody's going to get that until the end when you throw...
but here's the thing. I just, like... I'm ready for it to be done.
Yeah.
It's gotten to
that's
the point
what I'm saying.
Where there's really... Because even at this point, if I open the next issue...
All right, I got
wait,
it.
Wait, stop. No, stop. Wait, hold on. If I open the next issue, and on the very first page, Carl drives a wooden stake through his dad's heart and says,
You stole my idea!
I kill you, King of the Vampires. I am now the Dark Lord Prince. And that would be shocking and amazing, but at this point... I don't care. Like, I've been dragged along too long.
See, I think it should be Rick gets bit. Carl has to kill him. Carl walks off into the sunset with Sophie and maybe Maggie and one or two other people. The end. Done. Like, it really could be that simple. Or we just back up to what issue, 73, when the aliens land and everything goes to color? 75. Let's just do that. I think Robert had it. I think he had it pegged then. And maybe that was kind of his joke spoof then. Like he knew that this was just like a runaway train.
But see, the thing is, the zombies are much
more of a
threat.
And I don't mean runaway train in like an insult sense. I just
mean
like
runaway
it's,
train.
It's
like
it's a
like
force.
Like that song, that Soul Asylum song from the 90s, Runaway Train.
Runaway? No, God, that's
never
depressing.
Coming back.
No. I mean, like, it's just a force. You know, it's going. It's a locomotion. And, you know, it's.
The zombies are much more of a threat in the TV series because in the TV series, you'll have a guy who's like, oh, I better go take a leak, and then suddenly a hand comes out of nowhere.
No,
there's a zombie.
I'm dead.
Like, oh, my God, I find a zombie. Whereas in the comic, it's like, hey, guys, there's 50 zombies coming towards the front gate. Quick, shut the gate. Everybody shoot them. All right, now we got them. They're great. And it's like, where's the threat?
You know?
It doesn't really matter anymore. They're more worried about the people than the zombies, whereas in the TV show, the zombies are still a problem that they have to run and fight from. So... All right, what do you got after Walking Dead?
Okay, yeah. Blah, 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 blah. Well, Let's see. The Activity.
Okay. I'm not caught up on it. But they, I know they just did that double-sized issue like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no,
Or a month ago. I don't know, whenever it was.
Nathan Edmondson and Mitch...
Gerards? I don't know how to say it either.
Hey,
Mitch, if you're listening, call area code 217-953-4025. It's our 24-hour voicemail line. And just tell us how to pronounce your name. Appreciate it. Thanks. Gerards? Like, I don't want to say it wrong, you know.
This is just another mission with the same group as the last couple issues. What I like about the Activity, and I've said this before, is the structure of the story is kind of based around the Operation 2 that's going on. Does that make sense?
The Operation 2?
Like, the operation that's going on in the story, like, it's very structured and focused. Like, when there's a mission and they're flying in...
Oh, the mission is focused, so the story is focused?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a very quick read. In this issue, they're going in to get some people. It's a real
going in to get some people.
Narrows
it down. That's a plot.
Yeah, they're just going in to get some people. But one of their which guy, the bearded guy that's he gets killed.
Killed. Here, let me see this for a second. I love the artwork.
Yes.
In these.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I really like, and I noticed this reading through the Punisher stuff, is that he has this tendency a lot of times to draw, like, for instance, there's a truck...
Different colored action scenes what's going on.
Here's the truck blowing up, okay? Yeah. He draws the front of the truck, and you got some black, like, pieces flying off, but otherwise it's just kind of this empty spot. And then he goes in with these big fields of color and fills it in. And I've noticed right. that a lot of times when there's something electrical, when there are explosions and gunshots...
Yeah, it gives it motion.
Yeah, and a lot of it's drawn in the color as opposed to having these black outlines right. on it. And it just really makes it stand out.
Well, and I like his frames. He'll change the color, the colors he chooses for the frames to emphasize a point.
Like when there's action happening, it all turns red, and yeah,
almost like it's color coded. Like for example, here.
Oh, there's orange.
Orange,
in the
background. And then, excuse me, I got the hiccups.
That's red. Yeah. But I just really like his art style. It's definitely distinct. You know, it doesn't look like 9,000 other comics on the rack. It has its own look to it. I just think it's really cool.
He knows how to make characters look extremely detailed or very simple and clean. So, yeah, I'm a fan of the act. And also what I really like about this is, were we talking to the artist? I don't remember where we heard this or where
I thought you were talking
from.
To the writer. I thought you were talking to Edmondson.
I was talking to the writer. That's right.
Nathan Edmondson at C2E2?
Yes. Yeah. And he was telling me how they got a lot of their cues from soldiers overseas.
Right.
That are fans of the comic book. So, tell you what, I'd like to, like, get a run of this and just mail it to a soldier. And be like, here you go. Here's, like, a stack of 40 issues. But, it's really
Thanks
good
for
stuff.
Sending me my life story. I live this every day.
So, yeah, Activity, good stuff. This was a run-of-the-mill issue. Nothing crazy going on other than the fact that the bearded guy that I can't remember his name dies.
So obviously the character you cared about.
Yeah.
Colonel Sanders got shot.
How about Daymen? Have you read any Daymen?
I have, but it's been a while.
Michael Allen Nelson. We got a chance to interview him at C2E2 last year. Yeah. Which, by the way, C2E2 is right around the corner.
Oh, I still got to do the press registration.
Yes, you got to do mine, too. We got to get that done.
I have to do yours.
I still really enjoy these stories and the art.
Well, one reason why it takes so long is that they let Brian Stillfreeze, who's the artist, just do his thing. So sometimes he takes a lot longer than normal because they want it to look as the absolute best that it can.
Right.
So there are huge gaps in between some of the... is that issue 5?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it does take a while. It seems like it's, what, every 2 months?
Well, it's like the first couple came out pretty quick, probably because he worked on those in advance, and then...
Right.
Once they caught up, it was like, okay, well, you know, just whenever you can, let's get him out there. I'm trying to remember what happened in 5. Like, I remember... there's a war breaking out between the different factions.
The Virgo and the Ramses family. Yeah.
And one of them went nuts. And
right.
He had to go in and clean up the guy's mess and get him out of the vampire flop house, whatever it was. And
yeah, and there's like daemon fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this story before, but basically what this is about... the caretakers of the vampires, the people that take care of the day business,
the humans that are chosen.
Yes.
they're
like indentured servants.
It's
the Alfreds, if you will, of the vampires.
Yeah, I was gonna say
the
for them, it's an honor to serve,
and they serve these families, and it's almost like there's like a generations serve this. You know,
right.
And
also, it's like these people are really just meat to the vampires, but yet.
They're doing all the dirty work.
But the vampires, in many ways, still care for these people. You know, they're like pets, in a sense. You know, but I don't know. It's weird, the dynamics of their relationships, because the vampires will threaten to kill them on a moment's notice if they happen to screw something up. But at the same time, they're giving them a lot of prestige and a lot of honor and... you know, all the money and all the responsibilities and everything. So it is just kind of a weird relationship that they have with each other.
Well, and the main character, David Reed, who's the day man for this family, particular family, there is a little backstory in this particular issue, issue 5. We learn a kind of like what he went through to grow up to become, because he was basically kind of groomed to become
right.
this day man. So... it's a good issue. Good ongoing story. There's a cool fight scene here in like a when he goes to confront the guy that's gone mad.
Right. And with a vampire who can heal, the wounds don't matter as much.
Right, and he's like fighting when he's got like a half like rotten.
You can see,
hand
yeah, you can see
and
like
stuff.
His arm bones.
His bones. The cool stuff, you know. And actually, this made me think a lot, like about okay, so these vampires, they can basically animate the flesh, whether or not the flesh is strong or not. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still punches with his fist.
Right, like, part of his arm is almost completely missing except for the bone, but yet he can still take his hand and manipulate the hand,
right.
even though there's no muscles there
right.
to move it. So there's something more with that breed of vampire than
right.
some of the others.
So that's Daemon. I've got that one.
What else you got? What else you got?
Rachel Rising.
Okay.
I caught up on the
Did
last...
Did Rachel rise yet?
Rachel's been risen.
Oh,
she's
okay.
been rising. She's oh. still rising.
She rose?
And long story short, so this small town, I think it's called Salem, right? Isn't it Salem? One of those...
Doesn't matter. Move on.
Yeah, okay.
Move on.
Girl is pushed off a roof of a building, murdered, buried in a shallow grave, wakes up reanimated dead, but still alive. And then this series of events happens with other people she knows where they die and come back. But they come back possessed, either by witches from this, like, what would have been, like, 1700s.
Coven,
or demons, devils. You know, Rachel is
there's something more about
the
town
spirit.
That they live in than just the fact that there had been
well,
witches there at some point.
Yeah, all of these women were murdered and buried in shallow graves for you know being accused of being witches. But there's something much bigger going on in this story. These demons are coming back, and they're using this town as like a central focal point. But in fact, they're trying to bring back hell on Earth. They're
trying to
start this whole apocalypse.
Well, and part of it was that the burning of these witches wasn't wrong. I mean, they really were trying to do a bunch of evil stuff and destroy the world. So
right.
They deserved it.
Well, and the witches are coming back to seek vengeance on this town.
How dare they? They're the problem.
And things have started to settle back a little bit. Like, we've talked about Johnny. Remember Johnny?
Right.
Johnny's kind of back doing her practice. All right, Jet is like a mechanic. She's like doing
her
thing.
You've got like four issues there?
Yeah.
So what happens in the most recent one?
Well, Rachel is hard-pressed to find out who murdered her, basically. What went down. At the same time, you've got Zoe, who is possessed by a demon.
She's the little girl. Very evil little girl.
In fact, there's a scene where she's walking down the street, and this guy walks by, and see, Zoe hasn't aged this whole time. And what we're starting to find out is Zoe hasn't aged for quite a while. Because this guy walks by, recognizes her, and he's like, oh my god, Zoe! And he, like, recognizes her because he remembers her when
he was
in class with her. And she's like, oh, I don't know who you're
talking
about.
So she's been evil for a while.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, he's like, oh, I gotta tell everybody that I saw it, because she, like, plays it off like, oh, I have some sort of genetic disease.
Andy Milonakis disease. Yeah.
So, and she realizes as she's walking away, well, I can't let him live. So she asks him for a ride and basically murders him in his car. But it's weird because it's almost like a switch in her head. Like, she's still playing it off, like, when she's with Jet and Rachel, she plays it off like she's not as insane as she is and not possessed. So you still, and actually, I think the Zoe story is probably more interesting than anything. I mean, let's face it, Terry Moore does a very good job drawing women. He makes them very, very appealing, very pretty.
So is Zoe really the only evil one that they have to worry about right now?
Yeah.
I mean, all these witches that were murdered wanting to come back and want vengeance, and they're really no big deal compared to this girl?
Yes. Because she's basically starting to unleash the infinite armies of the abyss, so to speak.
Huh.
Now, we did learn that also Rachel has this ability to basically put... When she puts her hands on something, she can tell what has happened in the past. So she puts her hands on this corpse. And because this corpse came in... they thought it was suicide. Like, he had died from his own...
She can tell he was murdered?
Euthanasia, yeah. She put her hand on him and was able to find out that, yes, it was actually his own wife. And there's this, like, madness that's starting to happen throughout town. So there's a lot going on here. I mean, you've got these girls that are starting to realize that they are actually witches in a formal life.
Okay, so what's...
You've got Zoe, who's this, like...
What's the long-term point of it, though?
I think it could be an all-out frickin' apocalypse when it starts in this town. You know? That's what I'm hoping for, anyways. You know?
The whole world's gonna end?
Yeah, the whole world's gonna end, and it starts in this little town.
Or are they gonna be able to stop it?
Or they'll be able to stop it.
I see. Have you read a series called Deep Space?
Deep Space?
From,
no.
I think it's IDW? Maybe. No, it's from Boom. Here. There's an ad for it in this Damon. Let me show you this real quick. This series, Deep State, right there.
Okay.
It's basically, if you think of the X-Files as if the X-Files were the Men in Black. So instead of going out and trying to uncover the truth, this is the team that goes out and tries to cover up the truth.
Ah,
so,
okay.
So, for instance...
So they're the cleanup crew.
The story is Cosmonaut falls to Earth... Well, I don't know if it's a cosmonaut. But anyway, falls to Earth, and there's some sort of alien monster, demon, creature, whatever, that has possessed him. So this is the team that's going in, trying to find him, trying to tell everybody it was a weather balloon, trying to keep the sheriff from getting involved, trying to, just cover everything up, make the stories, hide the evidence, and do all that. And it's really been an intriguing... It's only two issues deep so far, and I think it's only four for this opening, you know, miniseries. But it's done a really good job of basically laying everything out right at the beginning as this girl is being groomed to join this cover-up team, join the, you know, the Men in Black, so to speak. And so it tells you right from the beginning that, that they are there to cover everything up, to create the conspiracies, you know, to lead people in the false direction. And so even though the easiest comparison you can make is the X-Files, you know, it's a man, it's a woman,
right,
work for the government, they go...
Fox, Scully.
Right, they're investigating these things, but these are the people investigating it to cover it up and to keep it away from getting out in the public. And I just thought it was a really neat kind of way to flip the story,
okay,
and tell something interesting, yeah, like, in yeah, a new, different way, you know?
Well, anyways, just to finish up on Rachel Rising, there's a lot more else going on here that I didn't talk about. Like, there's a scene where, like, this real bizarre scene where, like, this mad bear shows up in town, and, like...
The guy shoots the bear.
And the soul of the bear that's possessed by a demon goes in this guy. This guy, like, gets in his car, drives this motel, which is obviously, like, where his wife's having an affair, barges in and, like... bashes her lover's face in. So, like, all this madness is happening right now. Rachel, like, basically tries to, like, go to the scene of the crime, puts on the same dress she had when she was pushed off the building, finds the exact rope that was used around her neck to kill her, and puts it on herself and, like, chokes herself out, even though she's dead already. It's kind of silly. So... And then Jet shows up and tries to, like, figure out what the hell's going on. She's catatonic. But there's a lot more going on, and I think it's a really good story. It's really bizarre and kind of got that eerie, Strange Tales kind of feel to it, you know? Outer Limits-ish. Because, yeah, like you said earlier, you don't really know quite exactly where this story's going. You know, I have a feeling it's leading up to, like, this... ultimate doom apocalypse where if, you know, Rachel and Jet can't get it together somehow, it's gonna, you know, go nuts. But, right. So, yeah. All I really like the story.
We're about 52 minutes into it now, so let's go ahead and take a break.
All right.
We are going to pause, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about Punisher.
The Punisher!
The new 13 issues are out now. Issue 14 comes out this Wednesday, but we've got a copy right here, so we'll talk about this whole series up until this point, and so stay tuned. And welcome back to the show.
Alright! What it is?
This is hour 12 of Comaholics number 44.
And we're going to talk about The Punisher.
This is the first episode of 2015, you realize that?
Yeah, it is.
We only did three
Happy
episodes.
Happy New Year.
Three
and
episodes
actually,
last year.
I have a surprise for you.
What?
Yeah. Because the last show we talked, you gave me a Christmas present, and I did not give you your Christmas present because I was going to do something. Well, I never ended up doing it, so I'm just going to make sure I'm just going to give it to you now. Okay.
You were going to do something.
Yes.
That kind of scares me, actually.
Let me get it.
He's rustling through some old papers back there. I hope it's a signed copy of the Declaration of Independence.
No. So, you know, I'm a big poster collector.
You have gone poster crazy in the last year.
Yeah, okay. So, we know that our politics are not the same.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, you're a Republican. I'm everything but Republican.
I'm conservative.
Conservative.
But I'm not Republican.
Okay. So... I thought, what could be kind of funny, but yet still kind of be something that, like, you're interested in, right?
Porn? What? I don't know. Wow! Change into a truck with Optimus Prime in that Obama 08 style.
Yeah!
Change
it's
into
not,
a truck.
By showing... Because, like, we never talk about politics at all because we... because we
right
know
now.
That we don't share the same opinions.
Who's the artist on this?
That's Tim Doyle.
Who's Tim Doyle?
Timothy Doyle. He's the one that did that Simpsons one that I have, where it's like the background.
Oh, the Hollywood yes. sign.
And he's the one that did that Jurassic Galaxy that he just did. That's like the mashup of Star-Lord and Jurassic Park and Terminators.
What kind of printing is this?
It's a screen, silk screen.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Because it's like heavily textured.
Yeah. No, that's it's high quality silk screen. Oh yeah, I'm sure you can smell the ink. Mm. So I will roll this up in a tube for you tonight. You can take it home and frame it.
85 of 200.
Yeah.
Oh, you couldn't give me number 5?
Well, I...
You had to go for 85?
I just thought that was really, kind of BA, It's kind of a... In a way, in the conservative sense, it's kind of a slap in the face to Obama.
Oh, well, then I love it. I love it then.
It's like change into a truck. And it's got the... What we're talking about here is this kind of... Got that color scheme... When Obama was running in 08, it was like, his it was like his silhouette, and it had like the red, white, and blue in it. And this, it's Optimus Prime with the red, white, and blue, and it says change into a truck.
This is, 2x3?
No, I don't think it's that big. No. I think it's like an 18 by, or 16.
12 by 18?
It's a 16 by 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's kind of an odd size.
Yeah, and that's the one thing about some of these limited edition prints is they are kind of odd size and kind of hard to frame.
I was going
to
say, they didn't think about their trip to Michael's trying to find the frame for it.
Yeah, no.
That's cool, dude. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I love the smell of ink. And you know what? I'm a poster collector. I can actually... I've gotten to the point now, like, each artist uses their own style of ink. Kind of with comic books, almost. Like, different publishers use different styles of ink.
Yeah.
You can almost kind of differentiate the artist by the smell of the ink.
So did you buy this when we were at a show and just hit it away? Or
no,
you,
I got that online? From his website.
Oh, okay.
Nakatomi Press, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You sent me links to that before.
Yeah, he had the Turtles one. He had that one for half off on the holiday during the holidays.
That's cool. Do things.
Yeah, no problem.
Which tube am I getting?
I'll get you a nice
tube. Am I getting the white tube or the brown tube? Or the white tube or the white tube or the white tube or
we'll
the brown tube?
We'll worry about that later. This is a delicate piece of art. We'll take care of that later. But yeah, so belated Christmas.
Thank you. All right.
You can hang that up, with all your...
When I get home, I'll just pull out the scotch tape and just
tape it. Just don't send me pictures of that, all right?
I'll just get the staple gun. That looks pretty nice. Is that worth something? Well, not now. I mean, it was when he gave it to me.
Just keep it in the tube until you're ready to properly frame it.
What if I want to improperly frame it? What if I want to get one of those, massive movie poster things and then just put it in the middle with, 2 feet of blank space around
Now, the
it?
Proper method is to put in archival framing, UV-protected glass, blah, blah, blah. Anyways.
I'm going to saran wrap it to a piece of cardboard.
No, take one of those places where they, glue it to, a poster board.
I'm just going to tape it to the front window of my house so the sun will shine directly on it. Everybody outside can see it.
And I'll come over and go... Aww.
You come over, it's just like a brown burlap sack in the window with Optimus Prime's face tattooed on it.
All right. So, The Punisher.
Yes, The Punisher.
Done by Nathan Edmondson again, as well as Mitch Gerards.
Gerards? Is it? I mean, because it could be Gerald?
The same problem with my last name. So, my last name is Leopakis. Trying to explain.
Gerads. It's Gerads. G-E-R-A-D-S. Gerads.
Grads. Okay.
Like grads.
Right off the bat, issue one. Okay. Hold on. Let's put on the brakes. Last time we talked about the Punisher, he had just been chopped up into pieces.
Turned into Frankencastle.
By Dokken. And turned into Frankencastle.
Right.
And that's when I vowed I was done with The Punisher. I thought it was ridiculous. Well, at that point, I think we were both kind of sick of Dokken, too.
Right.
It's just like, all right, this is... We're over this. So then, just a couple days ago, I'm like, hey, let's do a Comiholics last minute. I'm off on Monday and Tuesday. We can do it Sunday night. I can relax. We can have some beers, have some fun. Hey, it's what we do. and you suggested, let's do the Punisher. And I was like, you know what? Why not? You know? We haven't talked about the Punisher in forever. So, I asked you, well, how many issues is it? And I think you replied there's like 13 or 14. I think we have the... You've got 14 over there. It's not even on the shelf yet. So here we are. Talking about the Punisher.
All right. I will just say this. You'll have a complaint later on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it will come back to the first issue. Later on.
Okay.
All right, so Punisher in this incarnation.
See, now you got me flipping through the first issue. What you talking about, man?
In this incarnation of the Punisher, he has moved from New York to Los Angeles.
Right.
He is taking on the drug lords, the Mexican cartels. He's dealing with, you know, Southern California heat, the desert, all that kind of stuff. He befriends a female officer. She understands like who he is, but she's cool with it because he's taking out bad guys.
Well, it's like they have this like cafe scene.
Well, they never like, he never says, well, you know, I'm the Punisher. And right. She never says like, well, I'm supposed to take you in. Like they never have that conversation,
but she's grateful for what the Punisher does.
But they always have this kind of like uncomfortable. Like, they're trying to avoid saying certain things around each other, but they both obviously know, like, what the deal is,
right. You
know, what the score is. He gives her his skull ring that he was holding on to.
That he got from the cartel person that he threw into a river in Mexico that was...
He chopped off the dude's finger and stole his
no,
ring.
No, he shot
or his shot, hand. Shot his hand, that's right.
Like, the dude, like, grabbed his gun. He's like, don't touch my gun. Blam. With, like, it's like a sawed-off shotgun.
Right.
First off, right off the bat, big fan of we'll just call him Mitch. Yeah. Mitch's work. We like his art. I think he's got this like realistic, stylized. For example, in the activity, we talked about how, you know, he has a method of drawing your eye to action scenes and making things look more lively on page than they do in other frames.
It's also a lot easier to follow than some.
It's a quick read.
Well, a lot of guys when they do action shots, they're always trying to like move the camera around. Whereas he does it in a way that naturally makes your eye flow from panel to panel, and it's easy to follow through on who's getting shot, where the bullets are coming from, all that type of stuff. What are you pointing at?
Just the first issue here in these like three frames. How it's like one page of three frames.
He has one image of Frank Castle underwater.
Right.
But he's drawn boxes around the three areas and put word balloons in there so you understand the passage of time while you're looking at this one scene. And then you realize it's actually upside down. He's swimming up under the boat and then popping
Well, through. He's talking about, like, you know, he doesn't know exactly which way is rough. Once he figures it out, he goes. His lungs basically tell him which direction to go. So in this version of Frank Castle, we're getting what almost seems like a younger version than what you would have seen in Marvel before all of this. You know, maybe a little bit more.
Well, I'm going to say it's a more realistic where he's
more.
He's more.
He's not this big muscle, gigantic.
He may be.
He's not a Rob Liefeld Punisher.
No. He's not in his 40s, like he seemed to be in the other, like he seemed to be before, but he looks battle worn. Like he looks like he's been through hell. He always looks like he's had like 2 hours of sleep. He's running on caffeine fumes and energy bars and, you know, that kind of stuff. Cocaine, maybe.
Well, he has been in Mexico for a while.
And the one thing that it kind of bothered me at first is that the Punisher always seems to have a friend who can get any weapon in any quantity.
Yes, and we have that again. What's his name? Jerry or whatever his code name is for the guy. Yes.
Tugs. He calls him Tugs.
Well, for example, in the first issue, he goes to Tugs and he gets these weapons, and he's got this cartel guy in this car, and the guy's like, "You're crazy if you're gonna go in that building." And
he pulls out a rocket launcher. Yeah, he just
blows up the building. Yeah, which I thought that was awesome. I thought that was so cool.
He's like, "You're insane if you want to go in there." He's like, "Well, I'm not going in there," and he just blows it up instead.
And then he blows up the guy for insulting his car. You know, I mean, that's the Punisher I like to see, though. Kind of like that merciless vigilante, you know, where there is no line. You know, it just is.
Like, if you're
on the list, you're on the list. There's no mercy. You are going to die.
Well, it's like in Taken. Have you seen Taken?
Yeah.
Liam Neeson? Where it's just like...
Yeah, which is now like Taken 12.
Oh, yeah. They're making the third one, whatever. But you know, he just walks into a room and he just starts blowing people away. And you're like, he doesn't even care. Well, of course, they're all sex slave traders from Albania. But still, you know, he's just walking in and just blowing every single person away. And that's kind of how Frank is. It's just like, there are a bunch of guys in there playing cards. Right. I'm just throwing in a hand grenade. They're all going to die. I don't care.
Isn't that awesome, though? I love that. I mean, that's kind of like, isn't that more of the classic Punisher?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he's a stone-cold killer. He just doesn't care.
Right.
Well, if you're a criminal, he doesn't care.
Now, there's a couple of mini two-episode arcs in here, right? I mean...
Well, it starts out with him going to Mexico to fight these drug lords. But the drug lords have bought Electro to be their bodyguard.
So then there's about three issues with Electro? Right.
I say he shows up at the end of issue two.
And then
he's there for about two or three issues after that.
Four or five.
He's there. Actually, he's there all the way through issue six.
Okay.
So he shows up at the end of two, and then he's in three.
So
four,
Electro,
five,
at this point, like, because of all of the people Frank Castle has killed, all the drug lords and everything, he's got a massive hit on his head. And not only the States, but in Mexico. So these drug lords hire Electro to shut down the city so this one drug cartel can
take over Los Angeles
and somehow unify all of the drug cartels all over the United States by blowing up police stations.
One other thing about this version of the Punisher, I love his face mask.
Thank you. I think it's so much better than some of the other it looks like he just had some riot gear and got creative with some paint.
He grabbed a ski mask, put the skull on it. He grabbed, like you said, he's got a flak jacket and an ammo vest, and he puts the skull on the front. And so you've got the skull on the mask and the skull on his chest, and that's really it as far as creating a costume.
And I like also in the last three issues, I think they dabbled with the concept of, you know, he used to serve the red, white, and blue flag on his jacket.
He was a Marine.
Now he serves the vigilante white skull.
Right.
So, I mean, they got my buy-in on this Punisher deal, man. And you know what? I'm grateful that
he's not a zombie anymore.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I remember when that went all down. I was just like, why? It's almost like, are they mocking this character? Are they?
Well, and here's the thing that's funny is,
because there were some loyal Punisher fans out there I know were upset when Frank and Castle happened.
Oh, yeah, well, that's... I understand why, like, they put Electro in there because they want to firmly show that this is a Punisher in the superhero universe.
Right.
And these are the guys, Edmondson and Mitch, Nathan and Mitch, we'll say... Like, their thing has always been military. The Activity was their big book.
They're, like, very detail-oriented with, you know...
But
they know how to mix the facts in there to make it seem really real.
But they wanted to show that this is the Marvel 616 universe. This is heroes and villains. There's capes and tights and whatever. And so the best way is to grab this villain. But because he is an electricity villain, electricity is something real.
Right.
Like, as opposed to...
psionic powers.
Well, I was going to say, like the Scarlet Witch, who's got hex magic, you know, or Nightcrawler, who just pops in here and there. You don't know how
his
powers...
Well, you do have Domino, who's got the luck power, I guess.
Well, but, I mean, she's only in there for a little bit, really.
And I thought they did a good job introducing Electro into this and making it still have that that real buy-in that you would get from the comic book, the activity. Mm-hmm. You know, it almost kind of... Like, actually, I think I read the activity and then started reading The Punisher just because I wanted to compare art styles if it was still kind of similar. And it just had that real feel still to it. You know, even though this is... Yes, this is the Marvel Universe. Yes, this is The Punisher. Yes, he's a vigilante that just is like a, you know, random killer. You know, almost like a killing machine. And he still has to exist with these superheroes.
Right.
And I think they did a great job with Electro.
The other thing... the other thing is because of his vigilante actions... The government has sent in the Howling Commandos to track him down. And this is an ongoing thread through, like, the first 10 issues before anything really happens with them, is that they're scouting him, they're seeing what he does, they're seeing what connections he has, the people he talks to, the places he hangs out. They're just kind of following him around, gathering intel. But the Howling Commandos were originally Nick Fury's team in World War II. And so this is, like, years and years and years later, obviously, of the covert actions... They've gone from being the guys in World War II that went on those
crazy suicide... Like the Dum-Dum Dugan and... Right. Yeah, okay.
All of those guys. Now, in this modern era, they're the most high-tech elite squad of killers tracking everybody down.
Right.
And you see that they are the guys that go from mission to mission to mission to mission with no downtime, really, in between. They're constantly
being called. Right, and they definitely pointed that out. Like, when they finish one mission, it's like, okay, they got a call and they got to go to the next.
Right.
Didn't you feel it's kind of like a bubblegum version of the activity?
Kind of. Well, I was thinking more like it's more like the big summer blockbuster version of the activity.
Okay, yeah.
It's like the standard activity is like The Wire.
Right.
And then this is like Bad Boys 2. I don't know. Yeah. It's like big explosions, walking away from the cars, what? It's on fire, you know.
Doves flying in the air.
Slow motion gunshots while it's falling out of the building, while it's raining, you know.
What, like this?
All that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, walking away from the burning car. Real men walk away from explosions.
That's right.
Didn't you know? There is a kind of side story where he goes down to Mexico and he runs into Black Widow. And Black Widow drops him off in the middle of his Costa Rican prison because he's got to track something down. But you don't really know that he's on this mission until later. It's just he's there with Black Widow. She pulls out a gun on him. Next thing you know, he's in this Costa Rican prison.
Right.
And then two issues later, they go back and show you how she's like, okay, you got to go in, you got to
find out this information. Well, no, it ties in the story of there's a medic that's in the prison with him, right?
It's the old man who's, he paid for a boat, but he did it for somebody else.
Right, and then that leads back to Los Angeles.
Right. So.
So now he's back in Los Angeles. And that's basically where this ends in 14.
Now, wait, at the same time, when he leaves the United States and he goes, he's stuck in the Costa Rican prison and whatever, the police officer that he gave the skull ring to, she gets caught.
She gets a little rogue.
Well, she, first of all, she's chasing a suspect. He won't stop, so she fires, shoots him in the back, which you're not supposed to do. And so she gets suspended, and she decides that she's going to take the place of the Punisher since the Punisher has disappeared. She then gets busted and thrown in jail.
She gets suspended.
And, first she gets suspended.
Right.
Then she becomes the vigilante Punisher. Then she gets caught. She gets thrown in jail. And so now she's got to try to figure out how to get out of there.
Well, and at the end of, is it 14? A bunch of gangsters are like, okay, let's show them what we think of cops. So something not so good is going to happen to her, which we don't know what happens.
Well, so what it comes down to is the brother of the drug lord that Frank Castle killed comes to Los Angeles to carry through the plan that his brother was going to do,
right,
which is to set explosives off all over town, disabling the cops, disrupting the system, and allowing anarchy to take over. And all of the street gangs are going to rise up,
form a big union,
and form one giant gang to take over the city.
Sure, that'll work. Yeah.
Well, I mean, why not? Every street gang wants to share power, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what happens. So there are different threads going along. You've got the Howling Commandos.
I'm gonna give my big complaint now, okay?
Okay.
Issue 13.
Uh-huh.
Is all Howling Commandos. I don't even think you see Frank Castle.
Okay.
The entire issue.
Pull up issue 13.
I got it right here. Not once do you see Frank Castle.
Go to the third from last page of issue 13.
Okay.
No, wait. Go back.
Okay. I'm there.
All right. Now.
And what's with the lollipops?
This one guy likes lollipops.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Go look at the bottom.
Mission parameters.
Uh-huh. And what are they talking about there?
I can't read it.
I mean, just look at the word balloons and stuff. What are they talking about?
Funeral.
One of their guys just died.
Yeah.
They were going to go to the funeral, but instead, they're being called on a mission.
Right.
And you see mission parameters.
Uh-huh.
And there's a guy whose head's being held, and they're holding a knife to his
throat. Oh, that's him.
That's the guy from the first issue.
That they thought was dead.
No, no, look at the very first issue.
Right.
That's the guy at the beginning. This is issue number one. The first panel you see is that guy.
Okay.
So this is them at the beginning of the first issue. They get done extracting this guy, and it's off to their next mission without a chance, and their next mission is to find Frank. So issue 13 is actually issue zero of the Punisher.
So what?
So what? I think that's cool. I just think that's a great thing when you know that here it comes full circle. It's taken a whole year.
Yes, you figured out that this one issue has taken the last 12 issues full circle to tell you what?
Yeah. And?
What? Okay, I don't know. I just, to me, it's like, okay, the title of this comic is The Punisher, right?
Right.
Okay.
Well, this is how you understand who this team is that's coming
then,
to get the Punisher.
Then you do a one-shot.
What do you mean do a... No, cause don't make someone think they have to go out and buy something else that ties in.
No, just make them think that they're going to buy The Punisher, and it's not The Punisher.
But it gives you the background. It gives you the backstory.
Yeah,
that you
that's
need.
What you call a one shot.
But you don't want to go outside the book and make people buy.
Oh yeah, never.
Another book.
Never do that.
Well, I'm glad they didn't. I mean, that would be something that Dirtbag Punisher or publishers would do to make you buy something that's a tie-in. Because obviously, Mitch was not keeping up on the artwork. They had to bring in some fill-in artists.
I know, and that's the other thing.
So
I don't like the art.
You've got to do a fill-in issue, so do a fill-in issue giving you the backstory of what happened right before the first.
At least do it like Skull Kickers, where you're like, this is a fill-in issue at the very beginning of it. I don't know.
Well, yeah, but you've already bought it. All right. So now we've got issue 14, and this comes out on Wednesday.
Right.
So this is, nobody else has read this
yet. Ooh. Spoiler alert! Ooh, there's an ad in there.
The Charles Atlas?
Yeah, the Charles Atlas ad. We're going to apply for it. We want to be buff.
The insult that made a man out of Mac.
That's
hero
right.
of the beach. All right. So, the Howling Commandos have kidnapped...
And we're getting back to the Punisher, because that's the title of this book.
The Howling Commandos have kidnapped Punisher's last remaining relative.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, his family got murdered.
And he doesn't care about that family.
So they've got them holed up at this hotel. At the same time, all these riots are happening around the city, all the explosions and everything. Mm-hmm. They're trying to lure Frank to the hotel so that they can take him out when he comes to rescue these family members. So Frank, instead, goes through the hotel, turns on lights in the building so that the side of this hotel building looks like the giant Punisher
skull.
So suddenly all these gangs around town see the Punisher symbol on the side of this hotel, and they all come to the hotel. Frank needs some sort of chaos to cover him going in and taking out the Howling Commandos. So I thought that was actually pretty ingenious to draw all of these gangs to this hotel so that you have the cover. The Howling Commandos have to fight off because on the one hand, they're threatening this family, but they're only threatening the family to draw Frank. They don't really want this family to be hurt. And if the family dies before Frank gets there, then it doesn't do them any good. So they have to protect this family from all of these gangbangers roaming around town that are now heading to the hotel.
Right.
So they're distracted and fighting off and all of these gang guys. And they know they're
being distracted.
Right, but that's A, how Frank takes out these gangs, is he makes the special elite team do it for him. But then B, it gives him the cover so that he can see them, see what kind of weapons they have, what capabilities that they have, and he can get in the middle of this fight. So, in the middle of this giant battle, here you've got Frank, and he's setting off the fire alarms and the sprinklers, and he's going around and watching them, seeing what kind of ammo they have.
At the same time, we're having the same creative color scheme in the frames, differentiating different scenes and what's going on.
Now, there are a few pages that are done by a fill-in artist.
Right.
Like, you can see here, this is obviously Mitch's artwork. And then you turn the page, and it's completely different.
That's strange.
And it's, it's actually
Well, I'm sure there's an effect going on there, and this is the reason why they did that. I don't...
No, I think it's just...
time.
Yeah, time.
Here, do this page.
Brent...
I'm taking the weekend off.
Schoonover and Felix Ruiz. Something. Anyway. So Frank basically gets his standoff with the Howling Commandos. And it looks like, he basically says, they're not my family. I don't really care about them. They're just distant relatives.
And he lights the floor on fire.
But he throws out a bunch of gasoline, lights it on fire, and walks away, basically putting a wall between them. So they can't come after him because now there's all this fire in the way, So he's like, you guys tried, you failed. I don't care. They're not really my relatives. He's going to make a fire and make his escape. He turns to escape and blammo.
Yeah, he gets shot.
He gets shot. One of the Howling Commandos is like seven stories up with his special machine gun and snipes him. Through the floor, through the ceiling, and then through the next floor, all the way down. And so now Frank is captured and is being taken away. And at the same time, Frank's chick in prison...
Yeah, with the ring.
Still wearing the skull ring, is found out by the brother of the crime lord, and he decides he's going to teach her a lesson. And so he's going to get all these thugs that he's releasing from prison to basically beat the crap out of her. Or kill her, or rape her, or whatever horrible
thing not gonna be good.
That they're going
to
do.
And that's probably going to turn her to the dark side. She's going to become, this evil vigilante.
And then
they'll face off later, her and Punisher, and then they'll be...
But then the issue ends.
Yeah.
So, in the worst possible way, she's now trapped and she's going to, die, be violated, whatever... He's now shot, been captured by the Howling Commandos, taken out. The city is still under siege.
Right.
There's still fires burning all over. There's still roving thugs. The crime lord guy is out there. So everything that could have gone wrong has gone wrong now. So at the end of Punisher 14, he's in the worst possible place he could be, and everything that could be wrong has gone wrong.
Right.
So how's he going to get out of it?
So I have to say, this revamped version of Punisher, the Punisher, is good stuff. I mean, overall, it's quality. I like the team of writer-artists that they picked for it.
It's definitely much more entertaining than having Frank turn into a Frankenstein monster.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or, when I was reading Punisher in high school, they did a storyline where Punisher, he faked his death and he went undercover. And he cut his hair real short, and then he injected pigment into his skin so he looked black. And he hung out with Luke Cage. So it was Punisher, Black Punisher, and Luke Cage hanging out.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. That was almost... But I think Frank and Castle may actually be better. I don't know.
Terribly awful. What is it? The Mole Men put him together, right? Wasn't it the Mole Men? Something like that.
Well, he was on the island with, Man-Thing and... I don't remember.
Well, he got that crystal thing.
Was it the Morlocks?
Maybe it was the Morlocks. And he had that crystal thing that basically, revived him.
And then, they just forgot about him for a couple months. And then he came back. And he just, woke up on an island. He was back to normal. And oh, the crystal must have healed me. All right, cool. And that was it. Yeah, this is definitely a much better version of Punisher. But this is one of those where... I think this might actually work better as a trade. You go and hunt down the trades as opposed to...
Well, and for me, I've read it back to back today. Like, I read like 6 issues, I took a nap, and then finished the rest. But it was a quick read.
So if you're not, if you haven't been reading The Punisher, go ahead and pick up the trades. I think they're worth it to read it. It's definitely good stuff. It's that action movie feel. It's got that realism.
And also, I encourage you to read The Activity, too. You know, I mean, I think if you like The Punisher, you'll like The Activity.
Or if you like The Activity, you'll probably like The Punisher.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, there you go.
Or is it just like a thumbs up kind of day? We must be in a great mood. I don't think we said one negative thing.
Walking Dead.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. But at the same time, we paid a compliment as well. I mean, it's hard not to like The Walking Dead or anything Walking Dead.
But. Well, I like the TV show.
Yeah. So, you know, things come full circle.
It's getting cold down here, man. What happened to your heat?
It's just really cold outside. It's like 7 degrees. We're the Comicholics HQ, which is basically like the Bat Cave. It's the basement, you know. Don't have
No. It's a lot warmer outside. It's 11 degrees outside.
Ooh.
It's just that the real feel is -3.
Oh, okay.
So it only feels like -3, but it's actually 11. I mean, come on.
So winter is here in the Midwest, folks. So wherever you're at, stay warm. If you live in by the beach or
by the way,
somewhere tropical, then screw you. And the horse you rode in on.
All right, guys. Don't just, like you. Just for everybody listening, on Wednesday, this is our town, Springfield, Illinois. On Wednesday, a high of 5 with the real feel of -21.
Oh, yeah.
And the night is a low of 8. With a real feel only of -22.
Oh yeah.
So it's only gonna feel like -21 during the day, -22 at night. I mean, it's a 1 degree difference. Right. You'll hardly even notice it getting colder at night.
So we're gonna start burning furniture, neighbor's furniture, maybe my neighbor's fence.
Maybe your neighbor's.
Yeah. Whatever it takes to stay warm.
Don't be homeless. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, that's going to do it for this episode of Comaholics. Don't forget, you can always go to popculturenetwork.com, find out more comic reviews, toy reviews, all the other great shows and podcasts that we do. You can also call our 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025. Again, that number is area code 217-953-4025. You can find me on Twitter. It's @PCN_dirt. You're not on Twitter, are you?
No.
What's your Instagram?
No.
Do you have Vine?
No.
But you're on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay. But you don't want people to find you on Facebook?
No.
So, just don't talk to him, I guess is what it comes down to. If you have anything for the apocalypse, just post it on jointheforums.com, the official forums of the Pop Culture Network. I'll forward it to him since he never reads them anyway.
Oh, no, I'll respond right away.
Yeah, away, every day,
I'm trolling those all day.
And I guess that'll do it. Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Woo woo!
What was that? I don't even know what that was. You're not going to say anything else. You're just done. You're just sitting over there quiet.
Fine. I thought we had a whole segment.
Be that way. No.
We have a whole segment saved for this.
No, we're going to music. We're fading out to music.
Oh.
No, not that music. Not that music. This music. Oh, would you like a chip?
Yeah.
Have a chip.
We're just testing sound, right? I mean, we're...
Oh, no, this is live. This is the show.
This can't be the show. No, this is the awful. Show. This is going to be a...
Oh, I
a
just...
A terrible, uncomfortable experience
for the listener. I figured, you know, the listeners should know, like, what I mean, it's really like. To peel back the curtain. There's a lot of sitting around, a lot of nothing going on. I'm going to snap into a Slim Jim.
Yeah.
It's meat and spice.
This is like the beer fart portion of the show in the beginning.
This is beef, pork, and mechanically separated chicken.
Huh.
Like, it's not mechanically separated beef. There's no mechanically separated pork, but apparently it's mechanically separated chicken, and that's a difference.
So they...
It literally says, on the Slim Jim, it says beef, pork, mechanically separated chicken.
Hmm.
So apparently there's like a robot going, you chickens over here, you chickens over there.
And that's when they'll snap and turn into Terminators and kill us all.
So are we doing the show or what?
Yeah, sure.
You still want to do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You want to do it now?
Might as well. We're recording.
You want to watch some more vines of Jerry Perp Drank and...
No, those guys are funny,
Storm
though.
Storm Powers.
No, I thought we'd just do like a mashup show where nothing makes sense and we just throw everything together in one big pile.
In one big pile. Uh-huh. What do you mean?
You know, like we talk
you
about...
You want me to sit on your lap? Is that what you're getting
yes.
at? I don't know what you mean here.
Like a big sandwich.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Nice. There go our last three listeners.
But we're going to cut this out and then we're going to say, and go.
Are we?
Uh-huh.
All right, I'll tell you what. I'll stick this on at the end.
Okay.
So, like, after the end
yeah,
credits.
Yeah, because this is the ass portion of the show. This should never be the beginning of a show.
Are you sure? Because this could be the beginning.
This could be the beginning of the end if this is the beginning of our shows.
All right, fine. I'll put it at the end.